Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee, swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee, filled with messages from Thee. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at Thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for Thee, ever only all for Thee, ever only all for Thee, ever.
Friends, welcome to this time of worship here at Qualicum Beach at St. Stephen's United Church. We are delighted that you can join us. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Would you join me in today's call to worship? Come in awe and wonder. Come with praise and thanksgiving. Come with full and joyful hearts into the presence of the living God. God showers his people with kindness and mercy. We give glory to God, the three in one, who never forsakes us, but pours out blessing and grace upon his children. Let us worship the Sovereign Lord. And as we step into that time of worship, let's light the Christ candle together, remembering that Jesus is Lord and Saviour. He is the light of the world. Would you pray this prayer of worship with me? Mighty, awesome God, we are grateful and privileged to come freely into your house today to pour out our hearts and our lives in worship. We give all thanks, honor, and praise to you as we reflect on the ways you bless us and give us good gifts, along with the incentive given by your Holy Spirit to use them. Work in us and through us, we pray, to the glory of your name. Amen. Friends, let's put aside our pride and come to God, seeking his mercy and forgiveness. Let's pray the prayer of confession. Holy One, we long to be faithful stewards of your abundant grace, to serve each other in love and humility, to serve your world with wisdom and energy. Forgive us when we stumble over pride, when our words and actions are not guided by love. Turn our hearts when we act in folly. Restore our energy when it is gone. Sometimes, many times, O God, our efforts fail. But your abundant grace is strong and eternal, and forgiveness is ours through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Friends, today we are going to be talking about how important it is that we are confident of God's grace and love. We know from so many places in Scripture that it has always been God's intention for us to have a way to be forgiven. And in Christ, that has been taken care of once and for all. As Paul said to the Romans, God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So confident of God's free gift of forgiveness for each of us, I declare to you Christ's word of grace, your sins, our sins, are forgiven. Thanks be to God. And God's people say, Amen.
Good morning. Our reading is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. I am reading from the Good News Bible. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like this. Once there was a man who was about to leave home on a trip. He called his servants and put them in charge of his property. He gave to each one according to his ability. To one he gave 5,000 gold coins. To another he gave 2,000. And to another he gave 1,000. Then he left on his trip. The servant who had received 5,000 coins went at once and invested his money and earned another 5,000. In the same way, the servant who had received 2,000 coins earned another 2,000. But the servant who had received 1,000 coins went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants came back and settled accounts with them. The servant who had received 5,000 coins came in and handed over the other 5,000. You gave me 5,000 coins, sir, he said. Look, here are another 5,000 that I have earned. Well done, you good and faithful servant, said his master. You have been faithful in managing small amounts, so I will put you in charge of large amounts. Come on in and share my happiness. Then the servant who had been given 2,000 coins came in and said, You gave me 2,000 coins, sir. Look, here are another 2,000 that I have earned. Well done, you good and faithful servant, said his master. You have been faithful in managing small amounts, so I will put you in charge of large amounts. Come on in and share my happiness. Then the servant who had received 1,000 coins came in and said, Sir, I know you are a hard man. You reap harvests where you did not plant, and you gather crops where you did not scatter seed. I was afraid, so I went off and hid your money in the ground. Look, here is what belongs to you. You bad and lazy servant, his master said. You knew, did you, that I reap harvests where I did not plant and gather crops where I did not scatter seed? Well then, you should have deposited my money in the bank, and I would have received it all back with interest when I returned. Now take the money away from him and give it to the one who has 10,000 coins. For to every person who has something, even more will be given, and he will have more than enough. But the person who has nothing, even the little that he has, will be taken away from him. As for this useless servant, throw him outside in the darkness. There he will cry and gnash his teeth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Did you know that we are actually in the last few weeks of the church year? Advent is nearly upon us. On December 3rd, we will start a brand new year. As we heard last week from Foster, here in these last 3 weeks of this year, we are exploring the three parables that Jesus tells and we find in Matthew chapter 25. As Foster reminded us last week, the lessons in all three of these parables are lessons for insiders. Jesus was teaching his disciples how they would need to orient their lives and their work after he was gone. He was teaching them how to be and what to do while they waited for his return. In last week's parable, we heard him urge us to each attend to our own faith, to do whatever it was that each of us needs to do to ensure that we are all ready for his return whenever that may be. And in today's parable, there's a slightly different message, but quite complementary. This is a story about a man who went on a journey and entrusted his wealth to his three servants while he was gone. He gave one servant 5 heavy bags of gold. Biblical scholars actually think that these bags probably weighed about 75 pounds. So this was a lot of wealth he was giving them. The man gave another servant 2 bags, and finally the third servant got 1. Jesus doesn't mention any specific instructions that were given to go along with the gold, but he did say that it was distributed amongst them according to each one's abilities. Well, while the master was gone, 2 of the servants put the money to work, and they managed to double their holdings by the time he returned. But the third servant decided to bury his bag instead, ostensibly to keep it safe. When the master returned to settle accounts with each servant, the first 2 got the same commendations for their work. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. But when the one fellow who had buried his bag of gold returned it intact, he got a very different response. The master was furious. He took the bag and gave it to the first servant and then threw the third servant outside into the darkness. Well, there are a few things that aren't said directly, but are certainly clear from this story. The first is that the master seems to know each servant's capabilities. That's why he doled out the quantities of gold in the way that he did. The second is that apparently he had some expectations and hopes about what they would do with his money while he was away. And the third thing is clear is that the master completely trusted his servants to take care of his business while he was gone. And as we heard, for the most part, that trust was well placed. So the first 2 servants were all good. Their master praised them both lavishly for their efforts on his behalf. And they actually were promoted. Lots of scholars think that that phrase, sharing in the master's happiness, is another way of saying that they went from being servants to actually becoming partners in their master's business. But things were quite different for the third servant, and we're supposed to notice that. Jesus wants us to see the differences, both in how the servants acted while their master was gone, and in how the master felt about what they'd done. Now, we might think that the master was angry because the third servant didn't earn a good enough return. But that wasn't the problem. The amount earned didn't seem to determine the master's joy. The first 2 servants earned quite different amounts, 1 5 and 1 2, but both got the same praise and promotion. The master even said he would have been okay if the third fellow had put the money at least in the bank to earn some interest. But there doesn't seem to be any correlation between the amount of money earned and the master's joy. It seems that the master was upset because for some reason, the third servant didn't put the money to work at all. Now, there could be a few reasons for that. It could be that the servant just couldn't be bothered to do anything with the money. Or it could be that he didn't understand that it had been entrusted to him to be used in the service of his master's work. I have to say, I think that's unlikely because the other 2 servants clearly understood this. Why wouldn't he? Most likely, his problem was exactly what he said it was. He was afraid that his master was a bit of a tyrant, and wouldn't tolerate him losing the money. He let his fear of his master stop him from taking a risk. The first two servants didn't show any signs of fear or anxiety. They forged ahead confidently. But the third servant seemed almost paralyzed by his fear. Jesus is using these three characters and the differences between them to teach us an important lesson. He gives us the first two characters who seem to have had this built-in confident assurance of their master's support and pleasure. They weren't at all afraid to step out and put all that he had entrusted to them to work. But then he gives us this third guy who seems to be living in a state of fear. He was afraid of disappointing his master by losing what he'd been given. The first two are confident of the master's unwavering support. The other wasn't at all. Quite the opposite. It's almost as if they didn't know the same master at all. And I think that might be exactly what we're supposed to see. In part, Jesus told this parable because he knew that just as those first two servants' understanding of their master was so completely different from the third fellow's, many people actually have entirely different ideas about what God is like. And that, my dear friends, is why we rattle on ad nauseum here about God's character. Because what we believe about who and how God is really, really matters. Among other things, Jesus used each of these three servants in this parable to show us that what we believe about God can hugely shape our faith and the way we live it out. Let me say that again. What we believe about God shapes our faith, and it shapes how we live our faith out. Whether what we believe about God accurately reflects how God is and what God is like or not. So with that in mind, let's look again at the parable. The master in the parable trusted his servants with all that was his. Friends, we do not say this often enough, but whether we feel worthy of it or not, God trusts us with all that he has given to each of us. Just as the master left his wealth with his servants, God has graced us with all that we have and all that we are. Our abilities, our gifts, our possessions, and our time, however long or short that may be. God trusts us with all of it. And just as it delighted the master's heart to see his servants had used his wealth, the wealth he'd left with them, God delights in seeing us put all that he has graced us with to use. It doesn't matter how much or how little we have of these things. What matters is our willingness to use it as we can. 5 bags worth, 2 bags, or 1. God just delights in the fact that we put these things to work for his purposes. And God does not seem to be at all worried about how successful our efforts are. Remember, the master was as happy about the 2 bags of profit as he was about the 5. He said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many." You have been faithful. Faithfulness. Jesus is really, really clear here. Faithfulness is what delights the master in this story. Our faithfulness is what delights God. And remember what faithfulness is. Faith is essentially trust. Trust in God. Trust in God's love and grace and mercy. Trust that God is good. And that God's plans and ways are good and loving. So living out of that foundation of trust in God is what faithfulness looks like. Remember, Jesus was using this story to prepare his disciples to carry on his mission after he was gone. He wanted them to know that it wasn't up to them to be successful in that mission, only to be faithful, to live out each of their callings, exercising their gifts and their abilities, using their time and their possessions as the Holy Spirit led them, trusting that as they did, the God they had come to know in Jesus, the God whose unconditional love they had gotten to experience from him every day, that God would be just tickled pink with their efforts, whatever they resulted in. Friends, we sit here today because they were faithful to that call. In their time with Jesus, they had become so assured of God's unconditional love and goodness that they were able to live like those first two servants. They faithfully took all that God had graced them with and followed the Spirit's leading as they put it all to work, confident in God's delight with them as they did. And now it's our turn to do the same, to trust that God really is just like Jesus. And we'll just delight in our faithfulness to his call. God wants each of us as individuals and as congregations to take what we've been given and be willing to use it to serve God's loving purposes in this world as each of us are led. And if we're faithful in that, then God will take care of the rest. And one day, we too will get to feel the warmth of his smile and hear him say to us, well done, good and faithful child. Amen.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow. All your ways are good, all your ways are sure. I will trust in you alone, higher than my sight, high above my life. I will trust I lose. I
Good morning. Let us pray. Loving God, we praise you for the kind and merciful God that you are. We are thankful for the rain that we have received that has nourished so much of the wild plants and animals, as well as the gardens and farms on our island. However, other parts of British Columbia and Canada have either received very little or no rainfall. And so we pray that there be moisture, either through rain or snow, that adequately nourishes the whole of North America. We are deeply concerned about all peoples, and in particular, Ukraine, Gaza, and Sudan, and any other part of the world where there is war and people dying. It feels overwhelming to us. We pray for the leaders whose hearts have hardened and continue to believe that war is the answer. May they now recognize that peace is the only long-term answer which is equitable to all, and be released from the desire to have power and glory through conquering peoples. We pray for all families that have lost a loved one. In particular, the Gregg family in our congregation, that they may receive the comfort of your loving, reassuring presence in the days and weeks ahead. May they also receive your peace as they adjust to new circumstances. We pray that those recovering from illness steadily improve and heal. May they too be comforted by your loving presence. And we pray that all of us as a congregation continue with deeper compassion and mercy for those who are struggling with loneliness, challenging circumstances, either from ill health or financial security. We ask this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We thank you for all the support you give to the mission and work of God in this congregation. Would you pray with me over the gifts given this week? Let's pray the offertory prayer. Thank you, Lord, for all the gifts you have entrusted to us. Help us to remember that all we have comes from you and is to be used to serve you. Make us faithful and trustworthy servants, always ready for your return. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Friends, it's time to start putting Christmas dates on our calendars, and I have two for you. The first is December 10th. That's a Sunday. 2 p.m., we will be gathering here in the sanctuary for our annual Christmas cantata. It's a beautiful cantata, a new one that the choir, well, actually an expanded version of our choir, are putting together for us. And rehearsals are underway, and I understand from all accounts that it's absolutely beautiful. So if you're looking for something Christmassy to do earlier in December, before things get too crazy, I invite you to come and be part of the Christmas cantata. It's a lovely, lovely afternoon. The second date is probably already on your calendar. December 24th is Christmas Eve. But you may have noticed that it's also Sunday. So that means that we will be having one regular Sunday worship service that morning at 10, and then two Christmas Eve services, one at 4 p.m. and one at 7 p.m. I want to encourage you to keep an eye on the church website for the details about those services. They're going to be different styles, different focuses. So you can take a look and watch for what's coming on the website and see which one might be a fit for you. Friends, go in peace to love and care for one another in Christ's name. And may God bless you with every gift you need for his work. May the Spirit grant you the willingness to risk yourself completely for the sake of the gospel. And may the love and compassion and the hope and faith of Jesus dwell richly within you now and forevermore. Amen.